This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Carlton Brown, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.
Greetings. I'm Dr. Shafiq Khan, director of the Cancer Center. The Cancer Center is committed to carrying out highly productive basic research in cancer cell and molecular biology, training of undergraduate and graduate students and research fellows in cancer research, and increasing awareness for prevention, early detection, and treatment of cancers which disproportionately affect the African American population. We hope to provide our audience with the most recent and up-to-date information on cancer healthcare issues facing our community.
How you doing? It's your girl, Jaquetta Williams. Thank you so much for being here with us. You know, we are about to talk about something that all of us want to make certain that we get a hold of or a handle of. Now, I know it's the holiday season, so we're probably not eating as we should. However, today's topic is going to be about diet and cancer, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we can do to prevent it, some of the things that we can eat, some of the things that we cannot eat, and then some of the things that we should drink and or not drink. Joining me today is Marissa Moore. She is a registered dietitian. The reason why I sound like I'm laughing or smiling is because I am, because before the show came on, we were talking about red wine, because I am a lover of red wine. However, because I am a cancer survivor about to celebrate my 7th year next year, Marissa tells me that that's something that I should avoid, that I should only be drinking red wine maybe 3 times out of the week. Is that right?
Yes. That's unfortunately what the research shows right now.
Okay, so we're not going to talk about that just off the cuff, because I'm still trying to digest that. And some of you who are my red wine lovers, I know you are too. So let's back it up a little bit. And first of all, tell me what you do other than just being a registered dietitian. You were telling me you are doing something else as well.
Yes, I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I'm also a spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So if you're interested in the organization, you can go to eatright.org. There's a ton of nutrition and food and exercise information there.
Okay, so we're talking about preventative measures. So what are some of the things that we can do, some of the things that we can eat, not eat, to prevent cancer from being a part of our lives, if we can?
You know, cancer is such a complex topic, a complex condition and disease, and there are so many different things that we know for sure that might cause or contribute to cancer, and then some things that you can do to try to reduce your risk. So one thing is just making sure you keep yourself in shape. So physical activity is probably one of the most important things. So we should talk a little bit about that.
So we mean, and when you say physical activity, because, you know, there are people out there who do not like exercising.
Yes.
They don't want to do anything, but you can walk, you can do Zumba, you can do, you know, biking, whatever that feels like fun. You can just dance if you want to for an hour a day and get your heart rate going, right?
That's absolutely correct. I love that you said that, because so many people feel like you have to go to the gym.
Right.
I, for one, I'm not a gym lover.
Me either.
I don't have a membership.
Me either. Me either.
You know, it's walking your dog every day. Mm-hmm. It's going up and down the stairs at home. It's doing Zumba. It's dancing. It's skating. It's hiking. You know, whatever it is that you enjoy, even if it's gardening, just making sure that you're active every single day. And the guidelines, most of us don't quite meet the guidelines. The guidelines are at least 150 minutes per week.
Oh.
Yeah. So
okay.
However you want to break that up. So
okay. 150 minutes yeah. per week. Okay. All right. So I got to write that down, because I
That's
didn't know
the minimum.
That. That's the minimum.
Yes.
But if I do more than that, I'm even better. Okay, so
better.
We've talked about diet. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about food.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that we can eat? Because I've always been told broccoli's very good.
Yes.
I've been told ginger's very good. Mm-hmm. I've been told green tea is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told also, if you can, stay away from red meats.
Yes.
Like steak. I never really liked that anyway, but I know there's some steak lovers out there. Don't beat me up. But That's what I've heard. Okay. So you run down the list of things that people should be able to eat and what they should not stay away from.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things you want to watch out for. Red meat, starting with the last one you talked about. Red meat, we do want to limit, but especially if it's processed. So things like bacon, hot dogs, all those things that have a lot of preservatives in them, salt, nitrates, you certainly want to stay away from those as much as you can. And then any meats that are cooked very high at high temperatures. So if you're grilling foods and you're charring them, that's another one that you really want to stay away from. And I know we're kind of outside of the grilling season, but in Atlanta,
we grill all year round.
We can grill tomorrow.
we will be out in a hoodie grilling in the back. Yes, we will. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. But you want to limit your total red meat intake as much as you can. And whenever you do have it, make sure it's lean. Make sure that you're going with, you know, the leaner cuts of meat if you decide to do it. Now, there are some foods that you can add to your diet that will absolutely help with cancer prevention.
Like?
So these you might not think about, but garlic and onions.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, too. here's the thing I do like. If you do garlic, you can also go to the health food store and get tablets or vitamins that don't have that heavy garlicky smell and still get the benefits. But nothing beats the actual thing, right?
I'm a big advocate of food first. So if you can eat garlic, I'm not saying just, you know, bite a bulb of it.
Right.
You want to add it to your salads.
Food, right?
You can grind it up and put it in salad dressing. You can roast it. You can do a lot of different things. And you can even use garlic powder to get some of the benefits. But also leeks, you know, you might like leek soup, shallots. They're a little milder, but they still give you some of the benefits. And the good thing about those is they have been proven to help fight different types of cancer. So you want to have those in your diet as often as possible.
Okay, let me put you on pause for just 1 second, because I do want to let you know, of course, if you have questions, you can, of course, at any time, call us at 404-880-9255. Again, that's 404-880-9255. And then, of course, if you're not near your phone and if you want to be a part of social media, you can always tweet us at CCRTD or at Jaquetta W. That's JAQUITTAW, a question for our registered dietitian, Marissa Moore, because I'm sure you may have some questions about your diet as well. Again, that number is 404-880-9255 or at CCRTD or at Jaquetta W. Now, let's go back. So you said garlic, you said leeks.
Onions.
What else?
Onions. Yeah, those are very common. Everybody probably has an onion in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Try to love onions. You know, have an onion salad. You can add it to roasted vegetables, to soup, wherever you can put them in.
And what about these particular, like garlic, leeks, and onions that you found that's good in regards to cancer-fighting foods?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about them is they all contain a compound called allicin. And that compound has been shown to fight different types of cancers. So that's just one that you want to have in your body regularly to try to fight off any mutant cancer cells that might try to pop up.
Is there any specific cancer that this would help, like breast or prostate, or is it just cancer as a whole?
It's very general as a whole. There might be some that are more affected by it than others, but you generally just want to try to keep it in your diet so that you can fight most forms of cancer.
And don't forget, too, we were talking about ginger. You said ginger's good as well. Tell us why that's good.
Ginger's specifically good if you already have cancer, if you're dealing with nausea in particular, that's one of the ones that you can use to kind of soothe some of those symptoms.
I know that at the time, about what, 6 years ago when I was fighting breast cancer and I went to a support group, one of the ladies in that support group spoke about the benefits of drinking green tea. And so, of course, I immediately went to the grocery store and bought up all the green tea that I could. And it actually helped me tremendously. So that's another. Is that another good thing about green tea?
Yeah.
Is it on par with ginger?
There's some, maybe a little bit of a difference there. I think they have different sort of benefits. Green tea has a ton of different benefits in terms of cancer fighting and cancer prevention, but also on the side of making you feel a little bit better if you're sick. So I actually recommend either or you can combine the two and have ginger mint tea or ginger and green tea.
Oh, that's good too. Don't forget, we're still here. We've got some callers. Thank you so much. Let's see. Now we're going to go to line one. I'm going to have you tell me your name. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hi. My name is Tosha.
Tosha?
Yes.
Okay. How you doing, Tosha? What's your question?
Yeah, I was explaining to the gentleman that I'm actually a cancer survivor myself, only about a year free of cancer, and I'm 42 years old. And ma'am, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening to you.
Oh,
got you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I'm wanting to know about sugar, how sugar relates. How should we view sugar? Of course, we know it's not the best thing for you, but can it lead to cancer? I seem to have an addiction with sugar that I'm fighting constantly. I have been brought to tears and prayer with this sugar addiction and fighting it, trying to stave it off. But could that have possibly aided, or not aided in, but led to, or been one of the components in the cause of my cancer?
And before you answer her question, when you say you have an addiction to sugar, do you mean like you like eating candy bars, or do you mean like if you have sweet tea, you want additional sugar added to the sweet tea?
Yeah, actually, I try to drink unsweetened because I'm trying so hard. But when it comes to pastries and things like that, if I stay away from it for a while, I'm good. And I love the idea of trying to eat healthy, but consistency is an issue for me, because as soon as I do decide to have a dessert for a special occasion or something, I can't eat it in moderation. I gorge on it. And then it becomes my little secret where I'm trying to hide it from the kids, and I'm eating it, and then I'm in tears, and I'm picking back up weight, and I'm trying to, and then I go through a whole thing of trying to get back off of it.
Okay, so now, Marissa, can you answer her question? What can we do to help her?
First, you're not alone. There are a lot of people who struggle with sugar, mm-hmm. and just getting past it. I'm glad you asked the question about what type of, sort of addiction she feels like she has, because if you're dealing with pastries and things like that, remember there's some other things that come along with that. So you're getting a high calorie intake as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the sugar. But I want to go back to your question. You asked whether or not the sugar can cause cancer. I don't know that there's any research to show that eating sugar will cause cancer, because we know there are so many people who eat sugar mm-hmm. and they don't get it. So I wouldn't, don't sit and try to blame yourself for anything like that. However, we do know that eating excess sugar in the form of pastries or candy bars or even sweet tea for too much can lead to weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
And weight gain is associated with a variety of different types of cancers, and it is considered a risk factor. So in some kind of way, maybe there's, a correlation there. In addition, sugar has been shown to suppress the immune system. Okay, so there are two reasons why you want to try to cut back on your sugar intake. And there are a couple different ways you can do it. Whenever we deprive ourselves or make ourselves think we can't have it, we tend to want it more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're feeling like you have to hide it from others, then there's a chance that you're probably overdoing it. Sometimes when we feel like, we're out of control, we end up being out of control.
So would you suggest the best thing for her or someone like her? Because I can relate to what she's saying. And mine may not be sweets and pastries, but I will bring my red wine back up. Now, if I am off, if I don't drink red wine, let's just say for 2 weeks, I'm good. I don't have mm-hmm. any desire for it. But the moment I have a glass, then I am back on that cycle too, to where I would like maybe a glass of red wine once per night mm-hmm. because I love the way it tastes.
Yep.
So are we saying that perhaps she should just, even if there is some kind of sweets there, pastry, not have any? That way that desire, it's almost like if you had an addiction to a narcotic, mm-hmm. you can't have it anymore. Would you? I don't want to make it that serious, but maybe it is.
It's very individualized. It's hard to say without maybe looking at everything that's going on. But what I can tell you is mm-hmm. out of sight is out of mind.
Okay, so Tosha, let me just, even though the dietitian won't say it, Marissa won't say it, I will say probably for you, I know you're still listening, when you're at the holiday party and there are pastries there, maybe you can eat an apple. Or maybe she can go and eat some cucumber wedges or drink a whole bunch of water. Do anything that you can to distract yourself from having those pastries. That would be my suggestion.
Distractions are good. I love that. But, the other thing that I do like to recommend to people, because when they tell me, oh, I really love chocolate, I never say have carrot sticks because mm-hmm. they're still going to want the chocolate.
Right.
So if this will work for you, go with something very small, like a very small little piece of chocolate. Dark chocolate that you've frozen. Right.
So why frozen?
You freeze it because you put it in your mouth and you wait for it to melt. It takes a long time.
Okay.
And it slows down.
That's the most
down.
Psychological stuff you're doing. That's cute, but no. Okay, don't forget, our phone number is 404-880-9255 if you have a question. Hopefully, we helped you, Tosha. The number again is 404-880-9255, or you can tweet your questions at CCRTD or at Jaquetta W. That's JAQUITTAW. Okay, so let's go back to, now we've talked about the garlic, the leeks, the onions, and we talked about staying away from steaks if we can, and we talked about the kind of meat. What are some of the other things that we can do? Because, you know, there are a lot of people who were on this bandwagon for organic, everything organic. People were running out to Whole Foods and wanting everything organic. But that doesn't necessarily mean that because you shop and buy organic, that that's going to be a risk factor. Or is it?
That's a very good point. Eating all organic is not necessarily going to guarantee that you don't get cancer. Mm-hmm. What's most important, though, is that you get plenty of fruits and vegetables, and that's at least 2.5 cups a day. Now, 2/3 of Americans don't get that.
Right.
We just don't meet it.
Right.
And specifically with cancer-fighting foods, you want to go with one that you mentioned earlier, broccoli, mm-hmm. cabbage, mm-hmm. cauliflower.
Spinach. Anything dark, right? Kale.
Kale, yes. Specifically what's called cruciferous vegetables. So anything in the cabbage.
Cruciferous
vegetables. Cruciferous vegetables.
Okay. What does that mean?
So it's Brussels sprouts, it's cabbage, anything in the cabbage family.
Okay.
They've been shown to be incredible cancer fighters.
Okay.
And there's so many different ones. So if you don't like Brussels sprouts, then go with cabbage. If you don't like kale, go with collard greens. If you don't like broccoli, go with cauliflower.
Okay. Now, one thing I will say that I did religiously, I was starting to do it before I was diagnosed, but I really did it during and after and since then, is I did a lot of juicing because, much like you said, there was no way that I would be able to probably get the amount of intake by eating it. But I found that when I juiced a lot of spinach, I couldn't really juice the broccoli, but I did. I tried to. It did make a difference in what I felt, my health and my skin and just my overall, the way my well-being. So that's another possibility, yes, is juicing?
Yes, and particularly I'm a big fan of making smoothies because...
Oh, okay. That's another thing too, yeah.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you actually get all of the, you know, the fiber and all the components of the vegetable. And so if you don't like kale, then do it, put it in a smoothie with a little bit of pineapple or a green apple, and it kind of masks the flavor a little bit, but you still get the benefits.
Now, let me ask this, because since we were talking about sugar, one of the things we do know, of course, in fruits... It's a lot of sugar in fruits. Mm-hmm. So are there good sugars and bad sugars, or sugars are the same across the board?
Well, I don't like to use good and bad, mm-hmm. but they are a little different because the sugars that we get from fruit, they're bound up with vitamins mm-hmm. and fiber. And so our bodies take a little bit longer to digest them. And it gives us a little bit more of a benefit in terms of, you know, we're eating something sweet, but we're getting something for it. Mm-hmm. When you're drinking a soda or just having a spoonful of sugar is what some things equate to, mm-hmm. you're getting nothing for it except for the sugar and the calories.
What about artificial sweeteners? Like, I mean, I know, you know, there's Equal, there is Splenda, there's Stevia, there is Agave. Now, I lean towards the Stevia and Agave. I stay away from the Equals and the Splenda. Can we talk about that as far as sugar, if you have to have some kind of sugar?
So for sweeteners, you know, try to go with a natural sweetener if you can. There are some questions about artificial sweeteners and whether or not they are the best choice for us as it relates to metabolism and weight. So if you can go with a natural sweetener, I would encourage you to do that. Now, agave doesn't have any calories. Agave does have calories. Stevia is going to be calorie free. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for something to try to watch your mm-hmm. weight, you can do that.
That's what I use, that stevia. Get a whole big old bag of it. All right. Don't forget, we're here ready to take your phone calls. If you have a question for Marissa Moore, who is our guest this evening, who is a registered dietitian. So any kind of question you have about keeping yourself away from cancer, or if you've gone through it and if you want to make certain that your diet is better moving forward. Of course, the number is 404-880-9255. And we are coming right back.